Hong Kong Advanced Level Examination, Use of English, Section A, Listening Test 2003. Instructions to candidates. You should have on your desk a question answer book. Do not open it until you are told to do so. I repeat, do not open the question answer book until you are told to do so. Now write your candidate number, center number, and seat number in the boxes provided on your question answer book. You are reminded that all examination materials will be played once only. The test is divided into three parts. You should use a pencil to write your answers for all three parts. At the end of the examination, when you are told to stop, put down your pencil and close your question answer book. You may not leave the examination room until you are instructed to do so at the end of the examination session. No one may leave early. Put your hand up now if you have any difficulties. It is not possible to handle complaints after you have taken the test. Now look at your question answer book. Check that your question answer book has no missing pages. Look for the words end of test on the last page. The test is about to begin. Keep your earphones on until you are told to take them off. Now look at page 1 of your question answer book. Situation. You and some friends are planning to join a 3-month summer study cruise run by an educational institute known as the School of the Seas. The study program will be conducted on board a converted luxury ship called the Odyssey as it sails around Southeast Asia. You are attending a visitor's day while the ship is docked in Hong Kong. The visitor's day is divided into three parts. In parts 1 and 2, there'll be an orientation session with some general information about the study cruise. And in part 3, there'll be an informal meeting in the ship's lounge with some students who've just finished the spring cruise. Part 1. In this part, you'll hear the beginning of the orientation session for the summer study cruise. You'll have 3 minutes to familiarize yourself with the note headings for Part 1 before it begins. At the end of Part 1, you'll have 3 minutes to tidy up your answers.
Look, but I think this is the right place.
Yeah, let's ask that man in uniform. Excuse me, we're looking for the School of the Sea's orientation session. Do you know if this is the right place?
Yes, this is Pier 5, and you would be...
Billie Jean Kang from Chai Wai Secondary, and this is my schoolmate, Bud Lee.
Let me just tick your names off the list. Billie Jean and Bud. Got you. Splendid. Now, there's a lot of vessels tied up on the pier today, so let me tell you how to identify the ship. It's called the Odyssey, but we're repainting it at the moment, so the name's been covered up. The best thing is to look out for the flag flying from the masthead. It's very distinctive. There's a grey, wavy line indicating the sea on a white background, surmounted by a small pile of books. That signifies learning, of course.
Surmounted? Does that mean under the wavy line?
No, quite the opposite, actually. It wouldn't do to fly an image of books at the bottom of the ocean. Sends out the wrong sort of message, if you know what I mean. Our books sail atop the waves, rather like a ship itself. Very fitting.
And how do we get to the ship? Is it on this side of the pier?
No, it's on the other side. You'll have to take the long way round, I'm afraid. We're at the pier entrance. Here it is on the map. So you walk straight along almost to the end of the pier. Turn right and head up through the passage between the waiting lounge and the store shed, then right again and along until you reach the middle ship. That's the Odyssey.
Isn't there a more direct route? Can't we just walk from the gates to the first turning on the right and head up between the loading bays?
Not if you want to get there alive, no. There are great big steel containers swinging around at all hours between the bays. It's very dangerous going that way if you don't know what you're doing. Now, hurry along. The session will start as soon as the ship's bell's been rung.
Hello, and welcome aboard, everyone. My name's Jean Silver, and I'm the Dean of the School of the Seas. The commander of the vessel, who some of you have already met at the pier gates, is Captain Edward J. Smith.
Hello again.
Hello.
This morning we'll be using PowerPoint to present some information about the summer cruise you've applied for. Please feel free to interrupt if you have any questions about the information on the slides. The first one I'm going to put up... Oh, great, great, it's working. Shows you the stages of the orientation session. As you can see, to start with, we'll describe some planning considerations. I mean planning considerations for the study cruise. There are always certain things we have to bear in mind when deciding on our routing and the timing of our cruises. Following that, we'll outline the study programs on offer. And the outline will include details of the courses on the programs, the number of seminars, what we do at sea, and what we do on land, etc., etc. After the study programs, we'll explain the course fees. The fees cover you for pretty much everything you need on the cruise.
The next thing we'll do is profile the people on board. There are three kinds of travelers on the Odyssey, namely the crew, the teaching staff, and the students.
Four types, actually. You always forget to include us in the profile, Captain Smith.
I do beg your pardon. Mr. Marlowe here is one of our few senior citizen passengers. He never misses an orientation session and has many a story to tell of life at sea.
The last thing we'll do is provide details of the ports on the cruise. The details provided will also include what benefits there'll be for certain types of students at the various ports of call.
Following the cruise details and the complimentary lunch, we'll have the first of our follow-up activities. That is, you'll have the chance to interview some students in the lounge. These students have just returned from the spring cruise and are eager to share their experiences with you.
And just to round things off, there'll be a tour of the ship. and you'll discover on the tour, the Odyssey still has many of the features of a luxury cruise ship.
Okay, so let's have a look at our next slide, which shows you the mission statement of the School of the Seas. There it is. To cross the learning horizon. You might want to write that down, I think. To cross the learning horizon. It means, well, basically what it says, I suppose.
And on to the next one. Ah, now this shows you some of the things we have to think about when planning our cruises. There are reasons why we sail to various places at various times of the year. Perhaps the captain can elaborate.
Well, the first consideration is the state of the sea. I mean the state of the sea during certain months or seasons. The reason is we want to avoid rough seas. In the typhoon season, for example, the South China Sea can be very rough. Very unpleasant.
Don't have the full cooked breakfast when the waves are up. Take my advice.
Thank you. Perhaps we won't. A related thing we have to think about is the direction of the wind. I don't mean your everyday gusts and breezes, but the direction of the prevailing wind. At certain times of the year, the wind blows from east to west. But later on in the year, it may blow from west to east. The reason we need to consider this is because it's expensive to sail against the wind. Sailing against the wind, you obviously use up more fuel, and that costs more money.
Next in our list of considerations is the behavior of marine life. Oh, sorry. There's a spelling mistake there. It should be M-A-R-I-N-E life. By this we mean anything that lives in the sea. Their patterns of behavior are important for this reason. We want to see wildlife in action. It's no good sailing to the South Pacific to observe whales if it's not the whale season, if you get my drift.
Okay, that's something to consider when we're at sea, but the last consideration we've put on this slide is events on shore. All our cruisers have an itinerary which includes events on shore at our different ports of call.
Oh, I think I can guess the reason for this. You want to see local festivals, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Local festivals and other cultural celebrations provide a quick and colourful insight into the people and the country you're visiting.
That's for sure. You should see the carnival in Rio. What a party!
To my knowledge, the Odyssey has never been to Rio, Mr. Marlowe.
Moving on swiftly now, what we've got here is a breakdown of a typical study program with the activities, a rough idea of how long we spend on them, and the possible benefits to students all listed. As you can see from the top of the first column, small group seminars take up most of the time. Seminars account for 35% of the study program, in fact. That's quite a lot. But that's because we think they really help students to develop their thinking skills. And ultimately, that's what learning's all about.
Field trips make up our next important activity. Roughly 25% of the cruise is spent on making visits to reefs, islands, reserves, and such like. These trips are wonderfully beneficial to students because they experience nature. And when I say nature, I mean nature untamed and often untouched by humans. Activity 3 is port visits. The ship makes quite a few of these. I should say they take up about 20% of the average cruise. Students have a chance to visit these ports to mix with different cultures. Perhaps this is the single most important benefit of the School of the Seas programs. You don't just read about the people of South Africa, the Japanese or the Greeks. You actually get to mix with them.
And the next thing we should mention is the project work. Although this only takes up 10% of your onboard study time, we think that the whole idea of recording your impressions, and that's what the project work's all about, helps you to find meaning in your experiences. There's no point in going on one of our cruises if you don't understand your experiences or don't have sufficient interest in them and what they mean.
I've kept a journal of all my cruises on board this ship. You folks are welcome to read about them any time.
I expect they'll have plenty of other reading to do, Mr. Marlowe, of a more academic nature, shall we say. But the last thing we put down as part of the study program is sea training, though I suppose it's not strictly part of your course as such. We spend about 10% of our time on sea training. The benefits here are obvious. You get a chance to learn special skills.
Special skills?
Oh, yes. He means seafaring skills like knot tying, deck maintenance, life-saving skills, and basic navigation. Captain Smith will make a sailor of you. I guarantee it.
You're too kind, Mr. Marlowe. Ah, here come some refreshments. Let's have a short break now, and we'll pick up where we left off in a few moments.
That's the end of part one. You'll now have 3 minutes to tidy up what you've written. In this part, the orientation session will continue. You'll now have 2 minutes to look at the note headings for part two. At the end of part two, you'll have 2 minutes to tidy up your answers.
Let's push on to a subject close to most of our pockets, I imagine. I'm talking about the fees, of course. Essentially, we base our fees on the type of accommodation we have on board.
Does everyone sleep in bunk beds like real sailors?
Well, not always. The only cabins where you'll find bunk beds, that is, an upper and lower bed, or berth, as we call them at sea, is our outward-facing cabins. I mean those facing out to sea. These come with one other single bed, and the cost is $15,100.
$15,100 for a three-month cruise? Wow, that's good value.
That's $15,000 US, not Hong Kong dollars.
Wow.
Oh, I see.
The cheaper option is an inward-facing cabin. No porthole or window, that is, with two single berths. They cost $14,200. The top-range cabin is for two people only. As you can see on the picture, that's with two single berths and it's outward-facing, of course. Those are $16,800.
So the passage fare and the food are both included in the fees, are they?
Yes, of course. Your passage, room and board are fully covered. There's nowhere else to sleep and eat after all. And as I've already said, classes are included in the fees too.
As well as course materials? I mean textbooks?
Well, there's free use of the library on board, which is very extensive, but you'll have to buy the main textbooks for your course separately.
There was something else. Oh, yes. How about port transfers? Like, say, from your home to where the ship leaves from?
Mm.
Are they covered?
No, I'm afraid they're extra. With people coming from different states and different countries, it's impossible to standardize that sort of thing. During the cruise, though, all the field trips are included in the fees. There are no extra charges, like you'd have doing excursions on a package tour, for example.
But, what if you want to visit friends or relatives in one of the countries the ship goes to?
That sort of in-country travel has to be paid for out of your own pocket, of course. The same goes for any personal expenses you accumulate on port visits.
If you get into trouble, I can always help you out. Of course, there are certain conditions attached.
I trust our students will not need to worry you about money, Mr. Marlowe.
Will we need to buy our own medical insurance?
I think it's always a good idea to take out private insurance. But we do have a very well-equipped sick bay on board and a range of complimentary medical services for all our students. All right. Time's running short, so let's move on to our profile of the passengers. Whoops! What's happened there? I seem to have skipped a slide.
Actually, I think you've deleted it. Oh, well, another day. We'll have a look at the itinerary for the summer cruise instead. This is the one you've all applied for. Our starting point for everyone this time round is right here in Hong Kong. And our first port of call from here will be Haiphong on the coast of North Vietnam. This area is of particular interest to our geology students because of the interesting rock formations there.
Hundreds of islands, all kinds of shapes. Fat, skinny, you name it.
But what about Haikou on Hainan Island? Don't we visit that first?
I'm afraid we've had to drop Haikou from our itinerary at short notice because of supply problems. Anyway, next we make our way south, down the coast of Vietnam to Ho Chi Minh City. History students are usually fascinated by this city. The reason being, there are some wartime sites there. These sites include the Cu Chi Tunnels, which the Vietnamese army fought in.
Ha! You know what they say in Vietnam, never get off the boat. That's what they say. No, sir. What you do is you wait till Bangkok. That's a wild city.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Mr. Marlowe, but we'll actually be skipping Bangkok this time around. Instead, we'll be making for Kota Baru in Malaysia. It's more or less on the border where Malaysia meets Thailand. Every year in late August, you can see turtles lay their eggs on the beaches near Kota Baru.
Turtles?
They climb up out of the sea and lay their eggs in the sand. It's a wonderful spectacle and a unique opportunity for our environmental studies students.
Environmental studies? That's what I've applied to do.
And the ship will then head east towards Kuching in Borneo. Here, our art students will have the chance to learn about body painting. By body painting, I mean the artistic designs the natives have tattooed onto their skin.
Tattoos? I've got tattoos.
From Kuching, we'll head south again and sail between Borneo and Java. We'll bypass Jakarta because it can be politically unstable and we can't predict what the safety situation will be like there. We think Denpasar in Bali is now safe enough to visit, though, in spite of that terrible bomb on the island last year, so we'll be calling at Denpasar next. Music students usually love visiting Bali. They can watch the traditional dances of the Balinese here. Their dances are very specialized, very entertaining.
And from Bali we sail to Komodo, a small island which we visit on a field trip, and a rare chance for our zoology students to see the famous Komodo dragons.
I thought zoology only had three O's.
Sorry?
You've got four on the slide.
Oh, another spelling mistake. Oh, please pretend you didn't see it. Anyway, the Komodo dragons are giant lizards. And after we've seen them, we'll continue on our eastward heading until we reach Dili in East Timor. We thought our political studies students would relish the chance to visit East Timor. They can learn a lot about developing countries there. East Timor has recently become an independent country. In fact, it's the youngest country in the world.
East Timor is also the end of our trip. If you're based in Hong Kong, you'll be flown home from Dili via Manila in the Philippines. If you look at the map here... Hang on a minute, that's a map of the West Indies. Ah, here's the one of Southeast Asia. You can see the full extent of the cruise, starting with Haiphong up here, then making our way down to Ho Chi Minh City. Then it's a short hop over to Kota Kinabalu. I beg your pardon, Kota Baru, beaches and turtles and what have you. Then Kuching is our only stop in Borneo before we head southeast to Bali. A shame we're not stopping in Jakarta because they have a wonderful old sailing fleet there. Another time, perhaps. Then we have a date with the Komodo dragons. And last but not least, Dili in East Timor. It'll take us nearly 3 months slow cruising to get down to there, and approximately 7 hours with an hour's stopover in Manila to get back on a plane. Air travel. Don't you just hate it?
The whole thing sounds fantastic. I can't wait.
Well, I hope the captain can excite you even more with a three-course lunch in the ship's canteen. We stocked up on some lovely fresh fish at our last port of call, Taipei.
Great.
Sorry, I won't be able to join you, but I have classes to prepare for.
I'll take your place, Jean. I never miss an opportunity to dine at the captain's table.
If you insist, Mr. Marlowe.
That's the end of part two. You'll now have 2 minutes to tidy up your answers. part three. In this part, you'll hear the applicants talking to two students who've just finished the spring cruise. You'll now have 3 minutes to familiarize yourself with the note headings for part three. At the end of part three, you'll have 10 minutes to tidy up your answers for the whole paper.
Here we are in the lounge, and we seem to have lost Mr. Marlowe. A heavy lunch usually means a long afternoon snooze for him, and blessed relief for everyone else. Make yourselves comfortable. Ah, here's the iced coffee we ordered. The students should be here any moment now.
Hey, you get a great view of the harbour from here.
Yes, indeed you do. The lounge has the best location on the ship. If you look at the deck plan here, you can see we're on the upper deck close to the bow. I mean, the front of the ship. The only thing above us is the bridge, or the control room. That's where I spend most of my time.
What's that at the far end of the lounge?
That's the sports complex. You can play anything from table tennis to squash in there, and it's got a fully equipped gym. Exercise is not simply limited to jogging around the decks, you know.
And the canteen is below us, right?
Yes. You come up just one flight of stairs. There's the canteen on the plan.
Then are the cabins located on the same deck as the canteen? I saw lots of students down there.
No, the cabins are below the canteen on the two middle decks. There are three kinds of cabin. Cabin types A and B are the more expensive types with the windows facing outwards. They're a deck above the cheaper, inward-facing ones, cabin type C. The students you saw outside the canteen were probably coming out of the classroom area, which is on the same deck. If you walk right the way through the classroom area, you eventually come to the swimming pool at the stern, or the back, of the boat.
Uh-huh. The swimming pool's open air, isn't it?
That's right. It's a great place to sit out and do your reading after seminars and enjoy the sunshine and sea air at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Right below the swimming pool is the games room for computer games, video games, that sort of nonsense. I'm afraid there's always a number of, shall we say, less academically inclined students who regard our cruises as a chance to become Tomb Raider experts rather than degree holders. And you'll find them there.
And I suppose that big compartment below the games room is the engine room, isn't it?
Uh-huh. And a fine one it is, too.
Mm-hmm.
The engines can have us cruising at a speed of 25 knots if the wind is favorable.
Yeah.
The area fronting it is the cargo hold, of course, and I think that's everything. Oh, I forgot to point out the library to you.
Oh.
That's between the games room and the cabins in the middle deck. I suggest the library is a better place to spend your free time than the games room, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, here are the students who've agreed to be interviewed. Billie Jean, Bud, let me introduce you to Mary Rose Turner from England.
Hello.
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 And Jim Ladd from Canada.
Hi there.
Hi.
Now, Jim, Mary, be honest about what you haven't enjoyed about the cruise, as well as what you have. There's nothing worse than being out at sea for weeks with unhappy passengers. I have one or two matters to attend to before our tour of the ship, so I'll see you later.
Thanks for agreeing to talk to us. The ship is fantastic. But I guess the first thing I want to ask is, are the fees too expensive? $14,000 plus sounds a lot to me.
Yeah, I have to say there's been quite a few times where I've sat down and I thought, is this really worth the money? I mean, the port visits can be fun, but the facilities on board are not as good as many land-based universities. I can't really make up my mind.
There are reasons for the high fees, though. I mean, the first thing is, as you've already noticed, this is still a luxury cruise ship.
Yeah.
You can tell this by looking at the lounge we're sitting in.
Yeah.
See, the chairs are really comfortable and the carpets are really thick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason is the high-quality teaching you get. Some of the professors on board are the best in their fields, and they don't come cheaply.
The captain says you also have to consider the high cost of fuel for the ship. You wouldn't believe the amount of diesel a ship this size burns up traveling from place to place.
Oh, and there's superb food, too. Most college canteens serve horrible food, but the galley on the Odyssey serves top-class cuisine.
Uh-huh.
I know. We had the swordfish steaks.
And, of course, it's possible to get your fees reduced. One way of doing this is to apply for a grant.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
There are all sorts of authorities who provide grants for this kind of study program. I didn't actually need one, because my parents are quite well off.
He's modest, yeah. Anyway, you can also get a reduction if you pay in advance. I mean, pay all the course fees before the cruise. I think it's something like 3% off or thereabouts. And then another option for reducing the fees is to go half board.
Go overboard?
No, that's probably a bit extreme. What I said was half board.
Oh.
That means having just two meals a day rather than three.
Oh.
A final way to bring down the total is to do ship's duties.
What do you mean by ship's duties?
Yeah. Oh, they can be anything from helping with the washing up to swabbing the decks. I've seen people swabbing, and it doesn't look like much fun.
No, I suppose not.
And 3 months sounds like a long time at sea. Now, what do you miss the most about home?
Miss the most? Well...
Don't be embarrassed, Jim. It's your girlfriend you miss, isn't it?
Yeah, my girlfriend. She's written to me a few times, but I'm kind of worried that she may have met someone else. Other things, well, TV, yeah, I really miss that. And then there's the dance parties we used to have in my hometown. They were pretty neat. There's a disco on board now and again, but it's a bit 70s, if you know what I mean.
How about you, Mary?
Well, I miss using ICQ. There's no ICQ access to the outside world on board ship because it's too expensive. And I guess I miss my privacy as well. Everyone has to share a cabin on the cruise, which means you just don't have any place to relax on your own. And then there's my mum's cooking, of course.
Yes.
As I say, the food on board is great, but, you know, it's just not the same.
Mm-hmm. The other question I wanted to ask was, do you think studying at sea is better? I mean, is it better than studying on land?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. I think the program has quite a few advantages over land-based study courses. For a start, there are fewer distractions. Mm. By distractions, I mean there's less to take your mind off studying and learning. No telephone calls, no TV with the sort of brainless stuff that stops people like Jim from thinking. I suppose another thing is, life on board is very convenient. You don't have to worry about getting to and from your place of study, what you're going to eat and so on.
Mm-hmm.
A third advantage is, there's plenty of study space. The Odyssey has study areas on practically every deck.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no excuse not to get your assignments done on time.
Unless, of course, you pretend to be seasick, as I have once or twice.
Honestly, Jim. Anyway, I suppose the last thing is the sea itself is stimulating. It's stimulating because it changes so much and because there's always something different to look at.
Yeah, but the ocean can be really boring, too. I mean, you know, endless water and empty horizons.
Yeah.
Just from looking around the lounge, there seems to be a real mix of people on board. Have you made many friends?
Yeah, we've made lots of friends. I mean, the majority are freshmen, first years.
Mm.
You know, it's really great. It's really easy to meet people the same age.
Yeah. Mm, that's right. But there are other groups of people here, too.
Sure.
You've got a small number of postgraduate students, and of course they're older and more mature, but they're doing research projects, and that's great because they can share their knowledge with you. It's it's a real benefit, you know. Of course, technically, this is an American university, but it draws students really from all over the world, so it is an international university. There are students from Europe and Australia and Africa and as well as North America.
Mm.
In fact, there's one from South America that Jim really fancies.
Oh, come on. You must mean Carmen. She's just been helping me with my Spanish. That's another great thing, too, is you can learn different languages on board. There's plenty of private tuition, people making extra money.
Que pensaría tu novia?
Okay.
What would your girlfriend think,
Jim? I knew
Jim?
What you were saying.
And then, really, the fourth group is the vicarious students who never get to leave home. And those are students that we send reports and photos to who are in secondary schools, kids in, you know, in various home countries, and we call them vicarious. That's V-I-C-A-R-I-O-U-S. And the thing about that, it sounds like a lot of hard work, but, you know, when you're sending reports, it helps the students on board to evaluate their work and for us to focus on what's really meaningful about our studies and why it's meaningful and why we're going down that road.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, look here. So, I have this. Look, you remember I showed you this photo?
Yes.
Yeah, look. This is us here. This is just at the start of the cruise.
Hmm.
This is near. We're near Alaska here. You can maybe see it. It looks kind of cold. And we're in a little boat here. Just me and two other friends. And look, I got this. Look, check it out. Look, I got this photo here of killer whales. There's two of them. And swimming alongside there. Man, that was an experience.
But isn't it dangerous in that small boat with ice all around?
Well, killer whales, no problem, so long as they're not confined in a closed space. And, you know, most of the pack ice have melted already, and, oh, man, I'll never forget it. It was great.
Oh.
Hey, here comes Captain Smith.
Ahoy there, Jim lad.
Oh, no, Marlowe's with them, the old fool in the sea. If he starts going on about Jim lad and Long Gene Silver again, I'll go crazy. You guys have read Treasure Island, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
I reckon we should leave him on his own desert island. He can tell his hilarious stories to the coconuts.
Hello again. Ready for the tour? It seems Mr. Marlowe has invited himself along, too.
Now, the skipper here has a name that's famous in seafaring history. Want to know who the other Captain Edward J. Smith was?
As you're so very fond of telling people, Mr. Marlowe, he was the captain of the Titanic, of course. So, how are your coffees? More ice, anyone?
That's the end of part three. You'll now have 10 minutes to tidy up your answers. Keep your earphones on until you hear the announcement at the end of the 10 minutes. That's the end of the test. Stop writing now and put down your pencil. Close your question answer book and leave it on the desk in front of you for the invigilator to collect. The music you have just listened to is The Blue Danube by Johann Strauss, played by the orchestra of the Vienna Volksoper, conducted by Franz Bauer Teussel. Take off your earphones now and turn off your radio.